This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yes, and this show, and we thank them so much, is presented every week by Great Garage Floors. I tell you what, if you're new to the show, thanks for joining us, checking us out. Let me introduce you to Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappi. And I think, good morning, Julie and John. By the way, it's great to hear you're back with us again.
Yeah, good morning, Denny. I think it's a sign of spring when John comes on the show, so.
Good morning.
Yeah, I hope you're right, and I hope it starts today, but unfortunately, it's not. Hey, it's February. It's the middle of February, and we'll get through it. I was thinking, too, that with all the new listeners we get each week, maybe it's a good idea, Julie, if you wouldn't mind, to not only reintroduce yourself, or in some cases introduce yourself, your gig, and John, what's John's job here? Or not here, but with you.
Well, I am an extension horticulture educator, which means I talk and teach and show people, demonstrate all different good practices for gardening, primarily in home landscapes, but also work a little bit with the industry as well. And my areas of expertise and what I'm most interested in are in landscape design. I taught landscape design in our horticultural science department for about 6 years before coming to extension. And also plant selection. So I have an exciting new version of our Plant Elements of Design plant selection tool that is coming out, crossing fingers, by end of February. And that will be available through our landscape design webpage on our yard and garden webpage. So it's kind of a passion of mine. But I also just like talking about, you know, healthy trees and the best way to take care of your gardens and what you should grow and all those different things, too. So that's kind of that's my gig.
And a fun gig and office at the Arboretum.
Yes, yes. Couldn't be a better place for a horticulturist,
yeah,
that's for sure.
I should say. John, if you wouldn't mind, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. My name is John Trappi. I'm the turf grass extension educator with the University of Minnesota. Just like Julie, I'm also officed out at the Arboretum. My role is basically anybody in the state that handles turf in some capacity, whether they're a homeowner, a master gardener, or a turf professional. My job is to basically provide some training, educational materials, or if they're diagnosing problems, and then connecting some of those observations or problems with researchers at the University of Minnesota to try to find some solutions for those.
Excellent. As you can tell, if you're just joining us, that we have some great brain power, as I like to say, here on the show. So, and we can talk lawns. Yeah. I mean, we've had some good snow cover now. It's not 10 feet deep, but it has dressed things up. And I'll tell you what, let me give you the phone number. It's also the text number. Any kind of a lawn or garden question for Julie and John, by all means, call it in, text it in, whichever works, 651-461-9226. Julie and I, of course, talk about this all the time, John, but this snow cover is really a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a great insulating material that, you know, for most of the, you know, many plants rely on the snow cover, and, you know, it's actually a benefit for that. In the context of lawns, too much snow cover sometimes can lead to some diseases like some of the snow molds, but we're really in no threat of that so far this year. But yes, yeah, snow is generally a very good thing for Minnesota lawns and landscapes.
You know, one of the things we get, and you both know this from time to time with various shows, that people have purchased grass seed and they never got to it. Maybe it's a season ago, maybe it's a year ago, maybe even more. Does grass seed lose its power? Does it get old, and does it work anymore?
It really, all seeds, whether they're for the garden or for your lawn, you know, they can just kind of fail over time. But as long as you keep them in a cool, dry place, the seeds can be viable for years. I have grass seed that I've used, you know, that's 5 or 6 years old and had really high germination rates with it. It's just over time, you'll have to probably increase the amount of seed you're putting down to get the same germination, because the seed just becomes less viable over time, but it can last for years as long as it's kept in a cool, dry place.
And I got to use the term dormant seeding. you don't want to do that right
words.
Now on top of the snow, right?
Yeah, you know, some farmers actually do that as a term of frost seeding, which is, you know, essentially what we're doing. The seed itself is not going to be harmed, whether it's on top or below. It's just dormant seeding is, so the strategy behind it is really putting down seed that you know is not going to germinate until soil temperatures rise. And you can do dormant seeding or frost seeding, which are functionally the same thing. You can do that anytime between, say, early November and early April. But I prefer to do it without snow cover or before a major snowfall, because you'd like to be able to see where the areas of the lawn that are thin that you're looking to add more seed to either improve it, or if you're looking to, say, renovate or establish a new lawn that way, you want to be able to see where you're seeding, and not having snow on the ground is a little bit better than not being able to see where you're going.
If you happen to have a lawn or garden question, by all means, for Julie and John, call us or text us at 651-461-9226. Texter says this: good morning. I am currently enjoying some lovely amaryllis flowers. The bulbs were Christmas presents. Is it possible to put them into dormancy and have them growing again for summer and again for next Christmas? Three times a year might be pushing my luck, but I'm pretty hopeful. What do you think?
Well, I think the best way that I've experienced, as well as what I've researched and written up on our amaryllis page on the Extension Yard and Garden page, is to let those plants grow through the summer, is not to let them go into dormancy. In other words, don't put them into a dark place and stop watering them now, because they need to build up an awful lot of energy in that bulb in order to bloom for next year. So after they're done blooming, just trim off the long stem that held the flowers and keep watering them. Keep them in a sunny location. Sounds like they're in the right place at your house. Keep watering them like a regular house plant, checking the soil to make sure that it's not too wet, because that will rot the bulbs. So you want to be sure that they kind of dry out between waterings. And then bring them outside. They're great plants to grow outside. I grow mine in kind of a part shade, kind of a filtered shade location, so that they don't get any sunburn on those big flat leaves, and let them grow through the summer. They'll photosynthesize, they'll put energy back into that big bulb, and then around September or so, before a frost, put them into a dark, cool location and just stop watering them. Let them go dormant then. That is their dormant season. And leave them there for probably, you know, 8 to 12 weeks. And then take them out and start watering them. Put them back in a sunny window, and I'll bet that they will start to bud for you again for the holiday season.
All right, great. We need to take a quick break. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, we'd rather hear you earlier rather than later because, you know, if you're a regular listener, we tend to get very busy here. We want to help everybody, as many folks as we can. So call us or text us if you would like to chat with Julie and John. Call us. Or if it's easier, send a text. 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour, presented by Great Garage Floors. Denny Long here, along with Julie Wisenhorn and John Trappi. We really have lawn and garden questions to get answered here, so take advantage of Julie and John's presence here on the show this morning. Call us, text us, 651-461-9226. I'm looking at a bunch of text messages here. Weeks ago, this texter said, I texted into the show because I bought a spider plant last fall from Extension, and the water just runs through it. She said to submerge it for a bit in water. I did that, and the water still runs right through. What else do you think I could do?
Sounds to me like it's time to pot up that plant. So, in other words, put it in a little bit larger plant pot and with some fresh potting soil. So take it out of the pot, kind of break up the soil a little bit, and then pick a pot that's maybe 2 inches wider in diameter, and go ahead and just pot it up at the same depth that it was in before. It's just, it's running, that water's running through it because the roots have essentially encompassed all of the soil that's left in that. And there's air space in there between the pot and the roots. And so that water's just running through. So it just needs bigger space for its roots.
John, another grass seed question in via text. My grass seed is in an unheated garage. Do you think it's still viable?
Yeah, I think it... there's a really good chance that it is. It's just when seed is kept in moist and, say, warm conditions, some of that seed is going to take in moisture and lose viability over time. A good way of just checking is you can take some and put it inside of, say, like a napkin, fold a napkin over, put it inside of moisten the napkin and put it inside a Ziploc bag and put it somewhere that's warm, and you'll be able to see how much of the grass seed actually germinates, you know, after a week or a couple of weeks. That's a good way of testing seed really for any type of plant, but certainly for grass seed as well.
Excellent. 651-461-9226. I was thinking, you had mentioned it earlier, Julie, and we love to talk about it because I love the resource, extension.umn.edu. Now that we have both of you on the air, what can folks find who've never visited the Extension website? You guys have put so much great information in there. Tell us some of the things we can find.
Yeah, well, first of all, you can find a link to our Yard and Garden News, which comes out. We come out with a checklist for the month, so things that you should be anticipating or doing during the month. It comes out the first week of the month. And then also we publish articles as well. We do, and our colleagues around the state. So you get a lot of great gardening information, everything from lawns to trees to shrubs to flowers, houseplants. And that's the same with the webpage. It covers all different topics associated with gardening in Minnesota.
How about you, John?
And as far as lawns are concerned, you know, very similar theme there. So we have, you know, really all of your lawn care tips and tricks and things like that. Some, a little bit more of a deeper dive into the hows on, you know, the how to fertilize or mow or irrigate. We also have, since there's been some interest in seed, we also have a great webpage on how to purchase grass seed. So a lot of great information. It's in the same location that Julie had mentioned, extension.umn.edu.
Yeah, it's a great resource. Love it. All right, let's grab a phone call this morning. Jody, I believe, calling in from Roseville, I think. Jody, good morning. What is your question for Julie and John?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. So we have a row of, I believe it's skyrocket junipers, they're called. There's about 15 of them out there. and they're probably 12 foot tall or higher. And our neighbor's garage burned down to the ground. Nobody was hurt, but those trees took a big hit. The back side of them is very brown, and the front side is still very green. They're covered by insurance, but our insurance said they may come back. Do you have any insight? What's our luck on those making it through a fire?
Well, I think the good thing is that they're junipers. So Skyrocket is a juniper. It's a upright growing juniper and kind of a cool landscape plant. So that's a good thing because they are tolerant of heat and drought. I would give them a couple of years to come back, or at least the next growing season. And you might want to kind of pay a little bit of attention to them. In other words, make sure that their base is, the base of the plants around underneath the plants is mulched so that you're not walking on the, or mowing over the root area or banging into the trunks. And then be sure to give them more water this year. These plants have to recover from a pretty traumatic episode. And I'm glad nobody was hurt at your neighbor's. That's great. And that didn't spread. But just give them more attention this year and be sure that they're watered well, depending on the rainfall that we get. Mulch those root areas, and you can do some judicious pruning, but I wouldn't do a lot of heavy pruning or shearing on these plants this year. Just give them a break and just keep them well watered, and I hope that they come back, but I have a feeling they probably will. It'll take a while for them to look like anything on your neighbor's side of the fence, but at least you get to look at the good side.
Very good. Let's grab another phone call. Michael is checking in this morning from St. Paul, I believe. Michael, thank you for calling. What is your question?
Well, I have a native plant garden, and I have noticed over the last couple of years that I've had some crown vetch sneak in there, and that stuff just seems to be spreading. And I don't, I look at that stuff and I think, how in the world can you even pull it? So I'm kind of wondering if there's any tips on how I can get rid of this and replant.
Okay, so I'm going to also ask John to weigh in on this because he is great at weeds and weedy plants like crown vetch. Crown vetch is a legume, so the good thing about it is it does fix nitrogen from the soil, but it is a pain. It is really difficult to get rid of. It's a very green plant, meaning that even if you burned your native plant garden, it would be difficult. That plant would kind of smolder and smoke. It doesn't, you know, it just doesn't burn well. And I guess I would start working on digging it out. It's, you can also treat it. And John, how would you approach that? Because vetch is something that we see in lawns and other areas too.
Yeah, it is certainly an aggressive grower. I don't think that there's really a whole lot of things to do other than just keep up the good fight. Keep trying to hand pull it, prevent any of those that are flowering from seeding. It spreads pretty aggressively by seed. So of those that, you know, that if you ever do see flowers, obviously try to pluck them as much as you can while you're weeding. So I wish I had better advice than that, but I don't think there really is an option in your scenario.
I think also I would cut it down just in order to keep it from flowering and to remove any leaves that can be photosynthesizing and adding more energy to that plant, and then keep digging on it too. John, would you treat it with anything? What would just be a non-selective herbicide?
You could use a non-selective herbicide. Of course, that's going to affect your other native plants in your
right.
native plant garden. One thing that you can do is it is sensitive to an active ingredient called triclopyr. T-R-I-C-L-O-P-Y-R. That's the active ingredient. That's like the ibuprofen of the Advil. Mm-hmm. So you can use that, but I would be very cautious around your other broadleaf native plants as they might be susceptible to that herbicide as well. But triclopyr does work on the crown vetch.
All right. We need to take a quick break, have a look at that forecast, and have more show to come here. Call us or text us with your lawn or garden question, 651-461-9226. It's the Smart Garden Show brought to us by Great Garage Floors. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show brought to us by Great Garage Floors. Denny Long here, back with Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappi from the U of M. Lawn and garden questions, we have many. And we have callers and we have texters, Julie and John, so let's get back to it. Scott, I believe first up you're calling from Minneapolis. Thanks for hanging, Scott. What is your question, please?
Hi, Scott. Thanks for having me this morning. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I have a little guy who's 14 years old now, and he really likes to deer hunt. We have a deer hunting camp up in Carlton County, Minnesota, and we're doing food plots. The soil's really acidic, and I'm just wondering what kind of things can I plant up there other than clover to attract deer?
Oh, my gosh. This is for John. He's a deer hunter.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you know that your soil is really acidic, you know, most plants are going to prefer a more neutral pH. So I would really strongly consider applying some lime. If for food plots, it's going to be a lot easier for a smaller, you know, even on a larger scale to use pelletized lime. Lime raises the soil pH, and that brings more nutrients into a sufficiency range. So whether you're growing clover or brassicas, that would be another item that I would consider. Alfalfa can also tolerate more acidic conditions, but quite frankly, the pH is going to be your most limiting factor there, and I would, before focusing on trying to grow other things, really address that that soil pH. If you haven't had a soil test done, the University of Minnesota has a great soil testing laboratory. A standard soil test would be all that you would need in this case, but you can collect a sample, send in for a soil test. It costs around $20, I believe, for the analysis, and then you can even follow the recommendations that come with the soil test. So brassicas, clovers, maybe some alfalfa, but certainly that's what I would be looking at first is the soil pH.
Very good. Yeah, that's a pretty good deal. Once the snow moves away, we can get soil samples. Right. But I think that's really a good deal for a sample.
I think you could also, I'd put a pitch in also for some shrubs around the food plot areas, things like serviceberries. John's had great success growing hazelnuts, some of those things that deer like to munch on too. So those would be good options, I think. John, any other shrubs maybe?
Well, basically, you know, we're in the instance of trying to promote deer, you know, everybody else is worried about deer munching on their ornamentals, and here we're telling them what to plant. But red osier dogwood is basically the one of the very best woody browse species. It's very easy to propagate and to grow, you know, if that's what your goal is to basically promote woody browse for wildlife.
You could also check with the Extension Office in Carlton County and see if they have any recommendations. They can also put the information out to master gardeners in the area. A lot of them are deer hunters, I'm sure. And they may be able to give you some kind of anecdotal advice on what to plant, what they've found to be successful.
All right, tell you what, before we grab more text messages, let's get one more phone call. Ron calling in from Shoreview this morning. Thanks for waiting, Ron. What is your question for Julie and John?
I grow a semi-determinate cherry tomato called Solano that only gets about 5 feet tall, but it's a tremendous producer. And if you grow it in a 24-inch pot or the same thing in the ground, the root system is so impressive in a big pot with potting soil. It's, you know, much bushier. I was wondering if in the ground, if I dig out about a foot, 12 inches or 15 inches or so of soil, and just fill it with compost. Can you grow tomatoes in just your compost?
I think what I would do is take that compost and mix it into the soil that you've taken out of the hole. So in other words, blending it together. Otherwise, you kind of create a pot of compost in the soil. And I think it would be better to mix it in with your existing soil. The other thing to think about, too, is if you've grown tomatoes in the same location in your garden, you want to rotate those. So you want to put them in different places. Same thing with a container, in that you want to replace the soil in a container after growing tomatoes or any of the nightshade family. So tomatoes, peppers, eggplants, they all are susceptible to the same kinds of diseases, and that soil can hold some of the pathogens that create those diseases. So use a clean pot, use new soil in your containers, but also then rotate those nightshade family members throughout your garden. But I would mix that compost in. I think it gives it a better combination. It will not create this bowl within your garden that the plant roots will stay in. They'll actually spread out and go deeper then beyond that.
All right. 651-461-9226, a phone call or a text on our Lana Garden Show this morning. Good morning. Texter says, how do you care for indoor potted tulips? I have not had them before. Love the show. What do you think?
So this is a forest garden or a bulb garden. They're really popular. They're beautiful. They bring a sense of spring into your household at this kind of wintry time of year. Those plants, those bulbs have been forced. In other words, they've been put into a cold, artificial condition. And when they're taken out of that cold, they're prompted then by hormones to actually bloom. So the problem with them is that they really kind of use all their energy up when they're forced. So you can replant them in your garden, but you're going to either not get any bloom because they've basically exhausted the energy in the bulb, or it's going to be several years before you get a bloom from those. So if you're thinking about planting them in your garden, you can give it a shot. You can always try, but expect to get a lot of leaves, or expect that you may not get much from a bloom standpoint. In the house, just keep them watered in a sunny location. I would correct that and say an indirect location. In other words, bright, but not in hot sunlight, because that will extend the length of the flowers, the bloom of the flowers. They won't senesce as quickly.
Okay. John, a texter, wants to know, is it safe to fertilize a lawn next to a lake?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, as far as there's no... There's no restrictions on how close to water. How close to fertilize to a body of water. We know through research that it's actually a good thing to have a healthy stand of cover, whether it's turf grass or native plants. You want to have some kind of living cover that extends down to the water, because that's going to slow any kind of water movement down and allow for infiltration into the soil and protect that body of water. So we recommend to between 15 and 30 feet to not fertilize unless you are establishing a stand or you're trying to improve that stand, but avoid fertilizing. I would also recommend using some kind of doing this only during the growing season with actively growing turf. Or plant cover, whatever it is that you're growing there. Just that way you can maximize the uptake of those nutrients and discourage anything for any chance. But 15 to 30 feet away, and I would recommend just using some kind of a nitrogen source like urea or a standard fertilizer to be able to, so that way the plants can actually just take it up quickly.
Very good. Julie, this texter wants to know if they can grow cucumbers in patio pots, and if so, what size of the pot would they need?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So bigger is better. It depends on the type of cucumber you're growing. You can grow, they have actually types of cucumbers designed for patio containers. They're bush cucumbers. Sometimes they're mentioned that way. Sometimes they have cute names like, patio pal cucumber or something like that. But you can, you want to use a very large pot. And for cucumbers, I would actually get a plastic container. And the reason for that is it will hold moisture better than, say, a terracotta that would actually dry out quite quickly. And just get the bigger, the better. So if you can get a 30-inch diameter, that would be great. Be sure to fill it with a good all-purpose gardening soil, planting pot soil or container soil. And then be sure that you're fertilizing that plant. It's going to use a lot of fertilizer, a lot of nutrients to produce. But I would look for those kind of bush cucumbers too. They're not as big, but they still they sound quite productive. I haven't grown one myself, but I would give that a shot too. Maybe try a couple different kinds. And then for the cucumbers that are vining cucumbers, you'll need some kind of support. So you'll need a pot that's big enough to hold a trellis or some kind of an obelisk or something that plant can climb on. You can also just bring three or four landscape poles together. stakes and just tie them at the top, and it will, and you can train the plants to go up those poles.
Excellent. All right, let's take this quick break and be right back on the other side of Smart Garden Show. We hope you stay with us. This show is presented each week by Great Garage Floors. And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. Just a reminder, coming along next hour is our home improvement show. Andy Lindis will be answering any kind of a home improvement question you may have, so keep that in mind. Meanwhile, Julie and Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappi with us, if you're just joining us, answering those lawn and garden questions. Boy, we have so many. Here's one, though. Why don't we see more forsythia in our landscapes? Texter wants to know.
Well, that's a great spring blooming shrub. It's gorgeous. It's kind of a harbinger of spring. It has clusters of beautiful, clear yellow flowers, just gorgeous. I think the issue with it is it's a very large shrub, and it's kind of unruly a little bit. It doesn't have a particularly distinctive form once it's done blooming. It's really just a green shrub. And I think also that it's such a short bloom time, so people maybe don't think about using it for that. They're all about the flowers, and it would create a great hedge. It's a great early pollinator plant. So there's a lot of benefits to it. I would always suggest that people, when they're looking for plants, to think about, maybe learn about some plants that they're not familiar with, and maybe just that people aren't that familiar with forsythia as a landscape plant, but it's great. We have some great cultivars that the University of Minnesota released, like Northern Sun, and I think it's Northern Sun or Northern Gold, and they're both very hardy plants and really terrific bloomers. So think about forsythia. There you go.
And you found, you did a little homework, did you not?
I did. Actually, in response to the deer feed plots, the food plots question, the University of Minnesota Extension has a webpage called Fertilizing Wildlife Food Plots in Minnesota. So there you go. Has lime suggestions for mineral soils with soil pH less than 6.0. So that would be an acidic soil. So similar to what the caller was asking about. And I think if you go to our Extension site, which is extension.umn.edu, just type in food plots for deer, for food plots for wildlife, or growing for wildlife in our search box, and it'll pop right up. Pretty nice page.
Well, speaking of that, well, we have been, but I want to talk a little bit about the Arboretum and the flower show.
Yeah, the flower show. It's pretty awesome.
Now, when does it start? When does it end?
Well, it's already started, and it ends, I believe, the first week of March. So it's got a few more weeks to go. I won't give too much away, but I'll say this, that our staff at the Arboretum have brought in trunks of trees that were taken out. They were hit by lightning or they have died, and they've created these amazing little, not really hobbit houses, but giant, like a gnome might live in one of these or something. But there's all sorts of bulbs that are blooming now, and that forsythia is forced. The branches of forsythia that we mentioned earlier have been forced, and I mean, it's gorgeous. It's in the, you see stuff in the, hanging from the ceiling and all over the great hall at the Oswald Visitor Center and throughout the whole Arboretum all the way up into the conservatory. So it is definitely a must see for this season.
Outstanding. Yeah, check it out. Once you go, you want to return. We just have a couple of minutes to go. And a listener said, you were just talking about the amaryllis plant. Well, I followed Julie's instructions. My plant is blooming for the 14th year in a row.
Yeah.
So there.
Woo! All right.
Impressive.
That. Yes.
Fantastic.
Maybe we have time one more here. When do you cut down your geraniums that you have overwintered in the house, and how low do you cut them down in the pot?
I just reshape them. I bring them inside, mine is out in the garage where it's cool. It's kind of slowly hanging out there. But you just cut them back so that the form is good. And I just bring them back to, you know, a node, a point at growing, and just kind of take the leggy stuff off of there.
And in our last 30 seconds here, John, for those folks, and in fact, I thought we'd be getting questions. Of course, I guess with snow on the ground, they're not going to talk about pre-emergence. But when is the first time we should either fertilize or take care of some weeds in our lawn that we know will show up?
Well, if you're interested in using a crabgrass pre-emergent, that would be used if you know you've got crabgrass coming up in your lawn. That can be applied coincidentally at the same time forsythias are blooming or around when soil temperatures reach about 50 degrees Fahrenheit. You can use the turf dashboard from the turf grass website, turf.umn.edu. It uses local weather to predict when crabgrass is going to germinate and emerge. That's when you can use a crabgrass pre-emergent.
All right, excellent. We're plumb out of time. It's great to hear you guys. Thank you so much for being on the show today. Always fun.
Thanks for having us.
Julie Weisenhorn, John Trappi from the U of M.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with bolt cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrier freedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.